Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Well, hello out there, Ivy Podcast listeners. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Angela Alberti, very excited to get into some fun with Ashir Shroff. But before we get started on today's interview, I wanted to just remind everyone, if you have a moment, I know that we're all busy in today's world, but take a few seconds to write us a review or give us a rating on your iTunes. That really helps us to get in front of more listeners like yourself. So now that we can go ahead and officially get started, I wanted to say how excited I am for today's show. I feel like Ashir is going to provide a lot of leverage and insight as a pioneer within the direct sourcing space, which we hear a lot about as of recently. But he has experience in this scope and this model for many years now. So Ashir, please give us a brief introduction on yourself.
Yeah, sounds great. So hi, listeners. I'm Ashir Shroff. I am the product director of our Talent Flex solution over at Eightfold. Prior to this, I ran a platform called GigNow, a direct sourcing platform built from the ground up over at Ernst & Young, treated like a startup. We really sort of wanted to scale something that made sense and really disrupt the contractor hiring experience. And you know, brought it to not only the US, but broadly across 54 countries.
Oh, that's pretty incredible. I can't wait to ask you all about that. Thank you so much for the quick rundown on who you are and what your background can bring to today's experience and today's listeners. My podcast channel likes to focus a lot within the contingent work, the gig economy, the future of work. And obviously a lot of that can be said, but what we hear a lot about what's happening lately, you know, if you open up any staffing industry analysts or look to see what's available out there, it's this concept of direct sourcing. So being able to interview you with such a vast background within this model already is super exciting for me. But before we get into the good stuff, my tradition throughout all of these episodes is to just break the ice and ask you a few super random questions about yourself. That way we can get to know Ashir Shroff and a different level through a different light and lens. Starting with number one, do you consider yourself a coffee or a tea drinker?
Oh, 100% coffee.
Can't function without it, right?
No, can't function without it. And I'll be a little bit more specific. I'm a espresso latte.
Oh, the nitrous. Awesome. Awesome. I am a fellow coffee drinker as well. All right. Second question. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Washington, D.C., but I've grown up pretty much my whole life in the Bay Area. So I'm a, you know, I think 37-year native of the Bay Area in California.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. Last question. Here it is, greatest mentor in your life and career. I love asking this one just from people with all walks of life. Who would you consider that person to be?
So, you know, again, I'm going to go with my dad. Again, an inspirational individual, showed up here from India and, you know, really sort of established himself and sort of set for a better life for myself, my sister, and our whole family. And again, really sort of the inspiration of how I sort of look towards values and what's important to me in life.
Oh, that's awesome. As a fellow first generation American, I can hold a lot of respect and admiration for your answer, but congratulations, you have survived the round of fire and dice questions. Now we can get into the good stuff. So you briefly started to let us know a little bit about this background that you had at GigNow, and now you're new, and congratulations, exciting endeavor with Eightfold AI. But, you know, as we're thinking about the oversight of direct sourcing and what this is, as I mentioned, a conceptually newer concept for many people out there, I'd love to get a little bit more of a background on those years and that experience that you had developing that sort of program at a company like Ernst & Young. Can you give us some insight to what that was like for you?
Yeah, 100%, right? So I think, really, it started out of frustration. So even before even before Ernst & Young, I ran mobile for Wells Fargo. I hired a lot of contractors, relied heavily on staffing firms, and just was sort of frustrated with the experience. I think it was broken in many different levels. There was inability to find the right people at the right time, get them on board as quick as possible. And so individual by the name of Carlton Smith reached out to me, and we had a great conversation. It really started, how do you want to disrupt the contractor hiring experience? I said, I'd love to, right? Again, it's been a pain point for me. And really, we started with a blank sheet of paper, the ability to think about all the steps that were involved, and to build a platform from the ground up from an organization that was willing to embrace direct sourcing. And so what we did was we really looked at what are the gaps? How can we leverage the brand of Ernst & Young, EY, a global brand, well-recognized, to find the right contingent labor and the right talent? And then how do we make it as easy as possible for them to sign up, apply for roles, get placed against those opportunities, and then really sort of continue to engage. And to me, what we build over at Gig Now is sort of a model of an organization that wants to embrace direct sourcing, do it at scale, and really sort of disrupt the ability to think about that experience. And what it lended to was an ability not only to hire great talent, not only to do it faster, but also an ability for an organization to sort of shift and innovate and really be focused on things like digital and hire the right talent, sort of, create ourselves into a model that moved forward.
Pretty incredible. And I'd love to just hear as a follow-up to that, with so many new companies grabbing onto this notion of the direct sourcing, what do you think are going to be some of the bigger roadblocks for them to actually be able to achieve a successful direct sourcing program? I guess if you could say, hold on, stop, before you implement this, consider X, Y, and Z if you really want this thing to lift off successfully.
So I think there are two different flavors of this, right? There are a lot of MSPs and RPOs sort of bringing direct sourcing to the enterprises, to companies.
100%.
And they solve a lot of those needs. They've got the recruiters in place. They've been doing this for some time. They know how to move fast on this. And what they're doing is leveraging the organization's brand to really enable people to be hired against opportunities. The opposite to this was sort of what we did at GigNow, which was leveraging EY and using internal recruiters and really sort of moving in that direction. And I think the interesting thing there is, if you think about contingent labor at most organizations, it's a function of procurement and not talent. And so one of the first things we did very early on at EY was step in there and bridge the gap between those two organizations. Procurement typically buys laptops and pens and pencils and finds us real estate, and talent knows exactly what the hiring manager and the rest are looking for. And so bringing those two parties together, I think, is the first step in any organizational change, right? Any sort of change management is, how do I transfer that sort of ownership from procurement to talent? How do I bridge that relationship and then really move it forward? And that really scaled for us, right? So we got hand in hand with our talent leaders and our procurement leaders and went out there and said, hey, look, we think there's a better opportunity for us to find better talent, better, faster time to hire, improve our compliance. Let's try this. Let's work on this. Let's start together, not as, let me take this over and run with it.
All right. That's pretty incredible. And I think a lot of what you said can be transcended into so many different initiatives that a company could have, starting with direct sourcing, but it all comes together with bridging that gap and making sure that the departmental structures all kind of jive with one another. Now let's talk a little bit about your background in technology. I can speak about the contingent workforce, but you bring another layer to this as somebody that has overseen, built from scratch, the product and the technology behind this. So when it comes to these direct sourcing programs. And really just with what so many are thinking, you know, what the future of work is going to look like, and AI and how that can all be influenced from one another. What are your thoughts on how the technology behind these platforms are going to maximize the movement of what is direct sourcing or future of work initiatives?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I think the old way of doing things, right, the way we've been doing it for the last 20 years doesn't play well, right? I mean, again, you look across every sort of vertical, every sort of industry, right? Consumerization is taking over. And from that perspective, right, we wanted to take a consumer lens of how they want to approach this, right? So, you know, typical sort of application on most full-time application systems, it takes 20 minutes to fill out the application. Our focus was 20 seconds. How can we get this done as quick as possible? Contingent workers aren't going to apply to a bunch of places, you know, look for opportunities if it takes them way too long, right? They're there for 3 months, 6 months, maybe even 12 months. And so we needed to really streamline that process. We used a lot of sort of technology to bridge the gap between candidates, recruiters, and hiring managers. How do you streamline all of those efforts? How do you automate different parts of it? And then how do you use AI to really find the best talent? AI to narrow the gaps, understand the skills of an individual, and then really sort of amplify those to the hiring manager so that they make effective decisions really quickly. And then I think the other part to this, and I think one of the exciting parts about where I'm at now at Eightfold is this whole aspect of D&I, diversity and inclusion, right? Making everyone have an equal playing field. And so it's no longer just about your resume. It's about upskilling these individuals, really showcasing what they've done, their talents, and then finding the best person for the job, and layering in the insights that we can glean from the technology that we're leveraging.
That's amazing. It's pretty incredible how the technology can drive the experience, can unify the departmental structure, can drive the AI and hone in on different skills, but can also lend itself to this D&I movement that we know is going to be a priority and already is more so a priority than it was a year and a half ago. Pretty incredible. And actually that reminds me of one of the points that you made, you know, when we were prepping for this podcast and you talked about when it comes to, you know, the challenges that businesses face through the direct, the D&I movement and how that lends to the future of work. And it's not just about contingent work, but there was a term that you utilized, was it organizational work? I can't recall off the top of my head.
Balanced workforce?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Balanced workforce. So tell me a little bit about this opinion, because it fascinated me, the balanced workforce, what that means to you and how it lends itself to the future of work.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, if I look at, organizations even 5 years ago, right, you know, it was sort of, there was only two opportunities. There was, 90%, 95% full-time, 5% or 10% contingent. And I think what we're headed to in the direction we're going for is a much more balanced workforce, right? A split between full-timers, contingents, freelancers, folks that are interns, alumni, right? And so it really is bringing in many more people into the workforce than we had originally thought. And as I've talked to a lot of CHROs and talent leaders, this is one of the areas that they're starting to focus, is how can I really set my company up for the best success for the next 5 or 10 years? And the old models aren't working anymore, right? I need to find talent that understands digital. I need them to be anywhere in the world. I can leverage levers like contingent labor and direct sourcing to really enable that. I can also use contingent to find people that, either because of paternity leave or maternity leave have dropped out of the workforce and now want to re-enter and want to do it on their own sort of balance. One of the interesting things I found was we actually saw a lot of alumni and folks that had retired that wanted to re-enter the workforce, right? Again, really sort of controlling their aspect of their life and sort of enter in at the right point. And I'll finish on one last point, right? As I look at the millennials, the Gen Zs, there is this notion that I think direct sourcing, contingent labor, really sort of provides some opportunities to not only develop skills, but really grow those skills, right, in a short period of time, right? So coming in, doing a 6-month gig, and then moving on to the next sort of gig. And so that ability to come in an environment that sort of rewards this, sort of nurtures this, is one of the things that I constantly are starting to hear from talent leaders in the space is that, look, my workforce is changing and we need to evolve the way we're thinking about it. And we need to think about many different mechanisms to really fill that in. And so that's what I'm sort of coining the term, and I've heard it out there, balanced workforce.
I love it. I love that conceptually. And it actually is prompting me to this next question. You touched on it, this generational impact that we can expect to see and that we can expect to be part of it. You know, we as of late, you hear a lot about, it's no longer the war on talent, it's the war on retention, because we have a millennial workforce that doesn't necessarily strive for that tenure, that wants to, you know, more so be skilled as opposed to, you know, putting in the 401k retirement through a 40-year career at a certain organization. And then we have the Gen Zers also coming in. So we're looking at these two generations that are quickly, if not very soon, are almost going to be the majority of the workforce. What do you think, you know, from an employer, from a company, from an organizational perspective, you know, enterprises can do to hone into this vastly different generational shift that we are going to be embarking upon very soon?
Yeah, so I'll throw a term out there and I'll sort of remake it. So there's a term in technology called CICD. So it's continuous improvement, continuous deployment. I actually call it continuous improvement, continuous development, right? This is sort of the notion that we're in. It's this model that, you know, again, I went to a 4-year college or I got a GED and I've got a 2-year, you know, associate's degree. That's not the only thing that is going to propel you in the career, right? It's the skills you develop in the environment you're in through gigs, through opportunities with mentors, with new learnings that you pick up along the way. And so if I look at this, it really is no longer this linear sort of trajectory, right? You know, you come in, you get a degree, you go get a good job, you spend 30 years there, and then you retire and you get a pension and all that stuff. I mean, I think I haven't heard the word pension in a very long time.
Yeah, no.
And, right. And so... so we have to rewrite the way we think about things, right? I think about myself, right? I started off as a software developer, right? And I really quickly evolved into that there's probably different areas that I can move into. I can move into the business side. I can move into actually developing products. I can start to think about how I mature and grow a team. And at every one of those stages, it was a combination of the work that I did and the skills I picked up there that amplified me for the next opportunity. And then additionally, you layer on that learning aspect. And so one of the things that I think that is really interesting was how does contingent labor really sort of allow that to happen? And, you know, in 6 months on a gig, you get a really sort of good sort of understanding of that space, that area, what you like, what you don't. And then you can take it to the next opportunity and either continue to double down or go try something different. And I think that we're going to see more and more of that happen. And I think even folks that are my age are starting to embrace this in a little bit more consistency, right? The average tenure at most organizations is somewhere between 18 and 24 months.
Right.
And so essentially everyone is a contingent labor person, whether they realize it or not.
Absolutely.
And so it really is, it's fostering this sort of, I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to learn new things. So I want to be part of this continuous development.
That's fantastic. And I loved, you know, the stat that you gave us on the average tenure, 18 to 24 months. You know, some companies have it pushing towards 3 years. Let's compare that to the average tenure of a contract worker. You said 6 months, but more so, at least within the professional space, you're looking
12, 18,
right. So really, where does the difference lie in that? So the last question that I wanted to ask you, although I feel like I could talk to you and just, you know, learn so much from you, and I know our audience can as well, but tell us about this new role that you are in with Eightfold, and where do you see, you know, your role lending itself to what Eightfold is doing?
Yeah, so Eightfold, again, is a transformational company in the space around talent intelligence. And the idea of, you know, again, there's a lot of great data out there. There's a lot of opportunity to find the right career for every person. But it can only be done at scale through technology, right? And, you know, both technology, sorry, let me reframe that a little bit. Technology and human intervention, right? And I think where Eightfold puts themselves is really squarely on that technology front and enabling recruiters, enabling you know, sourcers, enabling talent and enabling hiring managers to effectively make decisions using the best sort of data in front of them. And what I loved about this was this ability to really solve, you know, there's 7.5 billion people in the world. How do you enable to find the right individuals from that vast amount of, you know, information? And I think the only way you can do this is what computers are great for in AI. And so it's finding those needles in the haystack. It's finding the right opportunity for these individuals to either grow themselves, scale their careers, and then move on to the next thing.
That's amazing. Last quick question that I'm just thinking of here, and this is more a general opinion, but coming from somebody that had a background within banking and different industries, and now finding yourself in the midst of the talent space, how has the ride been so far for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I think, you know, one of the sort of the common threads against everything is how do you bring digital and consumer technology forward, whether it was in financial services and running a mobile app, whether it's in, you know, talent acquisition and running the ability to find great talent. We wanted to break down the barriers. I mean, every sort of successful company around us in the Bay Area, I mean, they're all looking at how do you leverage technology to make it easier, simpler, to find the right connection points between individuals. And as I look at it, to me, this is the cornerstone of what talent acquisition is and where, you know, where direct sourcing goes, where contingent labor goes, is breaking down those barriers, limiting some of the challenges that and the friction that appears there, and making it as easy for a person that wants a job, wants a gig, to find that gig and be the best sort of individual they can be.
Amazing. Okay. Well, Ashir, it's been a wonderful opportunity to sit with you today and ask you a few of these questions. Where can our audience find you?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, Ashir Shroff. Really easy to find. I'm only Ashir Shroff out there on LinkedIn. and you know, yeah, that's probably the best place to find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ashir, for joining us today. Thank you for the listeners for spending some time with us. We will see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.